Hi, my name is Tom Burdick. I was another one of y'all that had left here and then came back. Before, I'm a big person on prayer. I'll go where God leads me. I could be here today or I could be anywhere he sends me. But right now, for 3 months, I've been praying and praying and praying. God, what do you need me? What do you want me to do? And believe it or not, I knew some of these things were going on throughout the church before I even came here. I said, God, you sure you want me in this spot? Well, one of the things I want to share with, the best things happen when we're in struggle. The best things happen when we're in the valley, okay? Because then you really see God. For me, one of the things I've been praying about where God leads me is, well, one thing I like to cook. Can you tell? Another thing is this. God has put on my heart to get men on fire for him. If you're a man in this church, I expect you to be on fire for God. You need help? We're going to be there. We got some stuff going to be happening this year that I'm really on fire about doing and getting to know you guys more on a personal level. It's going to be a lot of one-on-one time and as great big groups of guys, and I would love to get you guys really to get to know you and spend time with you. And one of the things that I would really, really would like to say is I say going through the hard times makes you stronger. My grandmother passed away last year. Now, I was somewhat close to my grandma, but I didn't find my grandmother till I was 19 years old, or my mother. This was a, you know, even the heartache that was happening was a great thing, because they had a moment in the middle of this little bitty service, a little bitty bunch of people. The preacher who got up and spoke about my grandmother, you know, she was a good person. She, you know, did this, she did that. And one of the things that really burned on my heart was he never talked about Jesus Christ once. Never did he say, we have an awesome God. Never did he share one scripture. Well, my oldest son went with me, and he knew this wasn't going to be good. So he kind of elbowed me. Most of you know him. His name's Travis. And he looked at me, and he knew I was going to get up and say something. And it was amazing that in sharing who God is, see, these people that were in this room, I almost knew every one of them, and none of them know Christ. And it really, really worked up on my heart to say something. And I got to share a little bit of the gospel with them and got to share who Christ is with them. I was offered a job, but that, what is awesome is in that moment of pain, there was great joy in the sharing that my grandmother was a believer. And those in the room, a lot of them in that room are not. And I looked at that and I looked back over and I was so grateful that I had got up and said something, because I wasn't going to. And it was amazing, because later on that night, there was only supposed to be like 15, 20 people in this little bitty service. Showed up at my mother's house, and she didn't know half of them. And the conversation was on was Jesus Christ. They wanted to know who Christ is. So when I came back here, I got a hold of, I've been praying about it. I said, God, I need a better way to be able to speak to people to make them see who God is. You know, not where I stand to them and say, hey, you need God, but where they will want God. And one of the ways we had it was with the way of the master. That class came up, I was like, oh man, I didn't realize how powerful that is. Something that I prayed for, God answered. Let me tell you something. Right here says, how have you seen God? I'm going to say, how have you not seen God? I mean, look around you. Right now you look like, well, we're not that big of a church. Let me tell you something, it takes two, and God's in the room. All right? Never be afraid to share the gospel. One of my greatest wishes here is that our men become men, become better leaders, become better husbands, stand for Christ. Don't be afraid. because there's others in this room that will stand with you. Thank you.
Super nervous, I'm gonna make this quick. my name is Stephanie, not many of you know me. I know a few of the women through Bible study and stuff, but I just wanted to share, this has been, probably gonna start crying, one of the hardest years of my life. I lost my dad. He was the most important person in my entire life. My sister invited me and my mom to come here, and it's pretty much been about the best thing to happen. I have learned a lot from these women here that I have spent time with, a lot from Pete. I'm happy that I'm here. I have such a thirst to learn more now, to get involved with things. I'm looking forward to this perspectives class. I stay a pretty busy person. I'm a single mother and I go to school full time and I work full time, but I'm willing to make the time to learn more about God and to have a relationship with Him. I have grown up in church. So it would figure to most that knew me that I would already have that relationship with God, but unfortunately, up until recently, I have to admit that I haven't. But I know that being here is where I need to be. And I actually have prayed about it over the past week and want to make this my church home. But I thank you for everybody who's talked to me, prayed for me. I just want to say that I appreciate all of you, and I'm looking forward to getting to know more of you. So that's all I got.
Hello, I'm Becky Reeves. The Lord has worked in my life this year more than He has worked in my life ever. Stephanie's my sister. You know, we had God in our home from the time we were born. You know, I never knew any different. And in that, I think I almost took it for granted. You know, I never knew anything different. And so probably about 10 years ago, I got away from church because I didn't really need God every Sunday. I didn't need God, you know, I thought. But then my dad passed away very unexpectedly, and I fell apart. And I didn't understand it because, to me, I knew where my dad was. My dad was in heaven. My dad was happy. My dad lived his life to be where he was now. And I was actually at the funeral home for Carl Furry, and who was another father figure in my husband's life. We lost my dad, then we lost Carl, and we were heartbroken. And I saw Pete there, and I hadn't seen Pete since two of my good friends lost their baby. It was the last time I'd seen Pete at the funeral home. And I went and talked to him, and I'm trying to give him this version of what was going on in my life, and I just felt so out of control and sad and mad. And he just said, you know, I'm just gonna be frank with you. It sounds like you need God in your life. That's what's missing for you. And it was like a light bulb went off. And I started coming to church here. And the first Sunday, he was preaching about who are you to not have your children in church, to give them that foundation. And it made me think, I've had this foundation my whole life. You know, my parents instilled this, that this is important. This is important. And I thought, who am I to not be giving that to my children? What gives me that right? And in doing that, you know, I started forming a closer relationship to God. You know, I stood in front of you all and I said, I am rededicating my life to live my life for him, to have him in my children's life, you know? And then this summer, you know, my husband and I went through a very, very, very rough time. You know, we almost called it quits. You know, we almost lost our family, other family members. We were all, our entire family was affected. And the whole time, I had God to lean on again. You know, yes, I lost my dad. Yes, we're going through these horrible things, but it's almost like God's been there the whole time. He knew that I was going to need my relationship stronger with him to get through these things that were coming. And I'm so very thankful for that. So very thankful. And, you know, he's still working today. Every single day I see him working through my husband, through my kids, through myself, you know, and my mother, you know, who's still suffering, you know, from losing my dad so quickly. And I'm just very grateful for all of you and, you know, this church and my relationship with God and seeing him working in all these ways, you know. So, thank you.
Bible's too heavy for this. My name is David Harris. I'm new here. You've probably met my wife, Ethel, in the back, one of some of my sons, Zachary, Jacob, and Paul James. I want to first say thank you. The Lord God is alive and working through his people in this church. We have seen that. I went through a period in my last job where I was questioning a lot of things. The big question that I've always struggled with is, why is faith so important? Why do we, you know, if truth is true, why do we need faith so much? And the Lord has been helping me understand that. And the way he's done it is basically one of the roles, I was always the provider for the family. And I lost that role temporarily. And then he seemed to open some major doors in a market that I was originally trained for but never worked in. And I was having meetings with some very high-level people, very wealthy people who were encouraging me to go in that direction. And these were Christian people. And it just seemed, well, here it is. God's opened this door. We're going to go. And then, but something didn't seem right about it. And I prayed and I just said, well, I'm going to wait a little bit. And then the doors seemed to close. And it was clear that what we needed to be doing was, we needed to be here helping my wife's parents. They need full-time care. And there wasn't anybody here that could do that. And they weren't willing to get outside assistance. So we came to do that. And why is faith so important? It's because we need to rely on him. And the verse that has come to mind many times is in Genesis. Abraham looked up and saw in a thicket, he caught a ram by its horns. And he went over and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it has been said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The Lord will provide. That's, I think, you'd have to check with Pete, but I think that's Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is the great provider. So he is the one that has provided for us. So I can just give you countless examples. But before I even came up here, what are we going to do? How is this going to work out? My in-laws are not in a church family, so I don't know what we're going to do. God provided this church, and he provided a place for my sons He provided a strong youth group. He provided blessings to my wife through this church. And then I'm exhausted. I'm loading everything that I can salvage from a quick sale of a house. And I'm driving this truck up. And then I'm exhausted. I'm like, well, I'll just grind through this. I can do this. How am I going to do it? Half the church shows up, and we get the whole van unloaded in 2 hours. Something that took me 2 days with some professional help to get loaded. So God has provided, and it goes back to my question of why is faith so important? For me, that's one area that God is showing me why faith is important. That we have to rely on Him to provide, as He provided His own Son for us. And so thank you to this church.
Good morning. I'm Mike Nally. I'd just like to praise God for the gas prices that He's blessed us with and allow everybody to get around a little easier. I watched my wife grow and before my eyes and seen her change, and it's all God doing it. And He always puts me in a place, it seems like, where I'm needed at that certain time. And here recently, He put me in a place where I could help out some families, and it's just rewarding to see them pay it forward for the things that you do through Him. And just a quick thing about how He works and His, ways that we don't understand is my son and daughter are still struggling in the world, and my wife has really changed, and I'm still struggling with certain things, but I know what it's about and what I should be doing. Just yesterday, my daughter brought a person to our house that has all kinds of troubles, a heroin addict and everything else, and asked my wife for prayer, and that's God working there for people to come to your house, and I want you to pray for them. I mean, I just can't explain it except for God. And there was one other thing I wanted to say about the way He works and puts us in places. One day, a few weeks ago, my wife and I were talking about what do we want to eat, so I was going to go to Cordon, and then I was going to go to New Omni, so I decided to go to New Omni at a certain time. And on my way back, I just went in one direction, and I'm coming down the road over here, and there's a truck stopped in the middle of the road with the lights on, and I pull up, and it happens to be my son. And I, pull up to him and roll the window down, say, "Everything okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's just running a little ragged. I'm okay." And I said, "All right," and I just didn't say nothing else and backed behind him and waited there. So he gets his truck running, it's sputtering all down the road here coming down Tandy. And right when he gets to the church, he does a big wide turn and pulls right into the drive down there and stops. So I pull up behind him and stop, and he's still sitting there on his cell phone. I'm like, well, this is good, this is great, he's here. God brought him right to the church. So I asked him what his problem was, and he had run out of gas. So I just said to him, how do you explain that one, Josh? His name is Josh. I said, how do you explain that? And he didn't really have an answer for me. But then I got to thinking, this is real good, because now I got to take him to get gas, and he's got to listen to me the whole time. He doesn't have any escape to go anywhere. So anyhow, I was able to take him, but instead of judging him about his issues and his problems, I told him about my problems instead. And we went on and got everything done, and I was amazed how, I could have went that direction or this direction, but he put me right there where as soon as he stopped, I was right behind him at that very moment. And, to me, it's just amazing the way it works. And a couple weeks passed after that, and he calls me up and says, I'm still amazed by what happened over there at the church. How that happened. I said, well, that's good, because he's working in you. And a lot of us, we expect things to happen right away. But if you're patient with God, He'll always show you which direction He wants you to go. So thank you all for everything.
I have to step up and say something this morning. I don't know where to begin on what happened this year for me, but I will. It was Memorial Day weekend, and I came back on here as a shepherd to be the first repeat shepherd in this church. And I will never forget when Pete asked me if I would be willing to do that. The first thing I said was, the first time I did this, I had a lot of black hair. But it has been a rewarding experience. There have been a lot of things that have happened. Finishing the ballpark, for all of you who are out there on Sunday evenings when we played ball last summer and this fall, it was a beautiful thing. We had 50 people out there playing ball all together at one time. It's a ministry that God is using, that He will be using a lot in the coming year. We've got two new basketball goals back there ready to be constructed and put together. Thank you, Bob. We have so much youth here. In my profession, I talk to a lot of people at a lot of different churches, and I constantly hear, if only we can get youth. Wow. And thank you, kids, for letting me play with you out there when we did that on Tuesday evenings last summer, letting the old man play some ball. It was a lot of fun. A lot of things happened. But there was one experience that Pete and I had together at the beginning of October. We went to a elders conference at Southeast Christian. Got to spend some time with Bob Russell. And he did an illustration at that conference that reminded me so much of this church. When we came in that night, there was 240 shepherds there. And I refer to us as shepherds rather than elders, because we are servants, we serve as shepherds. But when we walked in that night, they gave each one of us a popsicle stick. And when Bob Russell went up to talk, he said, I want y'all to take those popsicle sticks, hold them over your head, and break them in two. We all did that. He said, I want you to put that in your pocket and remember that you are like a popsicle stick. You're broken. There's only one way you can be fixed, and that's through Jesus Christ. Later, he took out 9 popsicle sticks that he had glued together, and he got the biggest guy in there to come up front and try to break those popsicle sticks in two, and it was impossible. And he said, that is your church. Individually, we are broken. Together, we can never be broken. We are strong only because of Jesus Christ. He is the strength that bonds us together that will never break us. Will always be strong. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you. By the way, Christmas Eve, when Diana Hines walked up here to take communion, was God at work? That was such a special moment. It's been a tough year for them. JR, we have you all in our prayers. But I want you all to thank each and every one of you who support our pastor. We are blessed to have a godly man and family that loves this church and supports us, that are here doing God's work. I'm so proud of him and his family. And so many of you, all of you, who step up and make this church what it is. It's a family of God that I am so very proud of. Thank you all very much.
I'm Kelly Wells, and hopefully I don't throw up because I was not prepared. How have I seen God? It's through my kids, and through your kids in Children's Church, and through my husband. It has been a rough year. Not only the adults, not only the teens, but the kids have been hurt as well. They are healing, like you said. I see God anytime I work in Children's Church with Chris, whenever, you know, 4 or 5 year olds, they get it. And my kids as well. It's been a sending your daughter to China for the summer was really hard. Ugly cried a lot, but finally had to let go and let God have her. This summer, Alex still talks about the buckets, and he was up there and he rededicated himself and was baptized. I was thankful that Chris was up there with the junior high kids, because that was whenever we were between youth ministers. And he didn't want our youth to be without, so he volunteered to go up there. So he was up there for 2 weeks. And to see God work through Alex and Amanda, that's where you see God in your household. Elliot and Chris and Melanie, they help that foundation, but it's up to you all as families to help build that. Not just with us. We only, you know, Chris and Melanie and Elliot, they only have them like maybe 2 hours a week, and you're with them the rest of the time. And I know the school and everything, but we're just a tool. And please use us. I'm sure Elliot's like, yeah, use me. Melanie, yeah, use me. That's what we're here for. I'm thankful that if you would have asked me 4 years ago that we would be here, I would have said, you're nuts. There's no way I'm leaving where we were. I mean, we were tight. We'd been there for 15 years. It was hard. But God's like, no, this is where you need to be. I would have never got up in front of anybody at our other church. There was just no way. So God is pushing, and him and I argue a lot. He usually wins most of the time. But like I said, the way I've seen God is through my kids and your kids, too. Thanks.
I couldn't resist the opportunity to have a microphone in a room full of people, and also to get Pete to stay seated for another 5 minutes. Sorry about that. But what I'm about to say, I think, needs to be said. I'm Bill Kastetter. A lot of you know me, a lot of you don't, and I don't know a lot of you because a lot of you are new here. I've been coming here since the beginning, actually before the beginning, 2003. And every year Pete does this, and I forget every year that Pete's going to do this testimonial for all the members and attendees. I didn't keep track in the back of the room, but I think well over half of the people that came up here today are new in the last year in this church. And that's pretty close, I would say. And that's just amazing to me. And you know, I remember in years past, it was always kind of nervous because there was the long periods between people getting up. And today, it's like, take a number, you know? I mean, it's just amazing to me. So I guess it's not that I haven't seen God work during the course of 2015, but I've seen more of him in the last hour and 10 minutes than I have, you know, most of the year. Just the concentration of the goodness and the grace here this morning is amazing. So, yes, we're a smaller group perhaps than what we were a year ago, but as Doug with the breaking of the popsicle sticks, Doug, that's an amazing example. That's exactly right. We may be a little smaller, but we're stronger than we were. And we'll come out of this going forward and be better than ever, because God's got a plan for all of us. And so I just wanted to say that before I left. So have a good new year.
I'm Paul Brown, and I'm going to keep Pete down a few more minutes. I've seen God this year, and I don't even know where to start. I was started out the year in the hospital for just a back surgery. I was supposed to be in there about 3 days, and I was in there 17, and I was praying to die. I mean, it just is unbelievable. And everybody in the church was praying for me to live, and their prayers got overridden by mine, and here I am. So right after that, I got sent on the Emmaus Walk, which was an amazing experience with my sponsors, Bob Campbell and Beth. Just it was unbelievable. And so if you haven't been, grab you a sponsor and go, because that drew me closer to God than I have ever been in my life. It's just an amazing experience. Let's see, before I get shaken too bad, let's see, what else did I do? Right after that was, I get to be, I was deacon over offering and communion, and I was got switched to building maintenance. And since we're in the homeschool thing, I got to do my work here 8 hours every Tuesday. God opened it up for me to have the time to do my work. And a lot of you know that we're not here in the summertime, and we're at the lake, and God put it on my heart to start a little church service down there on top of the boat. And we started that, and people come, and we've just got to spread the word down there. And as everyone knows, it's not me, and that was all God, and that's all I got.
Pete, you know I had to mess with you. I love Testimony Sunday. This is great. I love seeing everybody come up here and just share how awesome of a year it's been to see God work. And for me personally, I could sing of his praises forever. I mean, this year, 2015, it has been awesome. It has been a year to just see him work in my life, my family's life, my dad's life, my sister's life, all these young people on the front row here. I'm blessed. I'm humbled by the fact that I'm even up here again. I mean, 5 years ago, it was a tough transition for myself, for those that loved me. I never thought I'd be working with the youth again, teaching again. I had my stepmom pass away. I had to step down from a ministry because of my sins. I had to leave a church family, I felt, because I was just in my own way. Lots of reasons. And I never really thought that anything was ever going to transpire. I didn't think that God was going to use me again. I didn't think that there was a chance for redemption. I saw my father, because of the loss of his wife, just fall. It was hard to watch, and I think it hurt myself and the rest of my family. But this year, thanks to Pete and so many other people in this congregation, and to most importantly the power of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, he had my dad come back to this church in the spring. He let me start working with the youth group again. He answered 5 years of prayers for me, where for 5 years I was diligent. You know, if there's a way, God, if there's any way that you can make this possible, if you can restore a moment, if I can bring glory, if you can use me as an instrument again, just open those doors. And this year we went through a lot of trouble and trials and tribulations, but he opened those doors. And I feel blessed. I feel so thankful and grateful for what he's done in my life, what I get to watch him do, and my sister and my father again, and just what he's done in this congregation. You know, from the new people he's brought us, like the Harris family and all their great young boys, and you know, this whole front row of girls that got baptized, Katie, Olivia, Jenna in secret. I was pretty upset about that. I didn't know about it, but she got it done, so that was cool. And the wonderful group of volunteers, like Mackenzie was singing Amanda's praise, and Isaac, and all the other ones, Paige, you know, that she's joined us. We wouldn't have Thursday nights just rolling and being amazing without her. So God's everywhere. You know, he's been rocking it out and just blessing my socks off in this whole congregation. And I can't stop just being grateful and wanting to lift his name up and just say, hallelujah, you know, thank you so much. You know, we serve a great and a powerful God, and he will always redeem us. If we look to him, if we seek him, if we are patient with his will in our lives, he redeems. That is his whole point. That is the cross, you know. Is he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. And I'm just so thankful. You know, thank you, God. Thank you so much. And yeah, I can't wait till next year when we get to do this again. And I just had one scripture. It was brought up in Sunday school this morning, and then I'll quit rambling. Youth group knows. They get tired of me. I'm a rambler. It's in Deuteronomy 8. And verse 2, it says, "Remember how the Lord God led you all the way in the wilderness. These 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you to teach you that a man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And that's what he's shown me this year. That's what he's revealed to me over this half decade. And I'm just blessed. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this congregation and this church family again. And, you know, all praise be to God. And I'm just grateful that he uses instruments around here in this church family. Like our pastor, Pete, you know, stayed strong and resilient and given me opportunity and spurred me along and taught me so much. The shepherds here, the moms and dads of the youth group. It's just great to watch him in action. You know, I'll never, ever deny his power and the work that he does in all of our lives. Thank you.
You all have ministered to me greatly today. So thank you for that. I have two more traditions that I want to get in at the last end of the year. One is to read the names of those who've been baptized and joined our church. And then we'll end with communion. But we baptized this year Diego Marquez, Paul Schaefer, Tyler Gadd, Brooklyn Garlow, Grayson Schartzer, Gino Klusmeyer, Miranda Whalen, Kelly Cooper, Kirsten Cooper, Josh Reeves, Aaron McAllister, is that how you say her last name? Julia Baumgartel, that one was very special to me. Katie Keebler, Olivia Campbell, Samantha Pollard, Jenna Fessel. Did I miss anybody? You know, I'm looking at these names, and a lot of these names are very special to me. That was awesome. And then those who joined the church, what I have written down here, John and Becky Riley, Mike and Lola Garlow, Hank and Marianne Gunn, Steve and Kelly Cooper, Tom and Sarah Burdick are back, praise God, Michelle Anderson, David and Ethel Harris, and Jacob Harris and Paul Harris, Wade and Letha Sonner, praise God, you're back. Mackenzie Sonner and Austin Sonner. And Mary Glotzback. God's been good. God has been good. I want us to take communion together. As we take communion, I want us to remember what the bread and what the juice represents. It's the body of Christ, which was broken for each one of us. We are the body of Christ, and we have been broken for him.